Poor Lee Red.
I just like ramp into it.
Need to get jazzed.
Yeah. Do you not find you have to sort of get in the mood?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe I should try getting jazzed. Right, we are recording, by the way.
Are we?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read,
the podcast where we talk you through the water filtration process. Okay, so... Oh, God. No, we talk about fighting Harry Potter, don't we?
Always. Always.
Yeah. Sorry.
Apparently neither of us have anything to say this week. Gonna be a short one.
No, let me get more jazzed. Yeah, so what book are we talking about today?
Fucking Harry Potter and the Order of the Fifi.
Okay. Order of the Phoenix. Hold on, let me see.
I feel like I've lost the rhythm.
No, I can do it all right.
The beat's running away from you.
I'm trying to make it like quarantine themed. Okay. Order of the Phoenix. It's such a mighty task. So make sure you wash your hands and put on a little mask. There we go. Friendly and sensible advice. Yes. There we go.
Cool.
So much for us not fucking mentioning corona.
Yeah, we had a long talk about whether or not we were going to make coronavirus jokes. I mean, that wasn't so much a joke as it was just genuine advice.
Yeah.
So we're still, you know, we're still not making coronavirus jokes.
Yes. Anytime one of us makes a coronavirus joke,
we follow it up with some sincere advice.
Yeah. Yes. I like that. There we go. Because we're not being bastards. We're just trying to stop ourselves from crumbling.
All right.
Yeah.
Chapter 30. Grop. Gifton's favourite chapter that he's been looking forward to this entire time.
So what I will say is that it wasn't as bad as I remember it being. And I think it's because I always skip it. The only memory I have of it really is the movie scene, which is a lot longer, it seems, and is fucking annoying.
Yeah.
So actually listening to it, Hagrid was still a total fucking liability.
This is really his...
This is Hagrid's, what do you call it? Most... This is his... it's got like a French name for it.
I don't know. His magnum opus, his pièce de résistance.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, viva la resistance. Yeah, it's that. That's his moment. So when Hagrid is his most Hagrid.
Yes, yeah. Hagrid is Hagrid.
Yes.
This is the chapter.
Hagrid does Hagrid.
Hagrid est Hagrid.
Hagrid von Hagrid. Oh, Hagrid ex Hagrid. There we go. Yeah, and it wasn't as bad as I remember. It was still shocking.
Yes, but I think the kids are the appropriate amount of apprehensive and incredulous. Hermione is, certainly.
Yeah, and also it would have been difficult to sort of...
It's like they don't just accept, like they did with Norbert, like just kind of accept that, oh, Hagrid's got this thing, so we're helping him out without question. They are a bit like, oh, fucking, are you serious?
Yeah. So I guess we should probably get into it before we... Because no one... If you don't know, you don't know what we're talking about yet.
Well, who doesn't know?
Someone doesn't. There are quite a few listeners who listen to us who've never read Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah, I've met them.
Fucking sociopath. You switch this off right now.
Yeah, I hope they're fucking self-isolating. Eh?
And infect me with your weird disease.
Oh, God.
Seriously, though, avoid large gatherings.
The more you know.
What is that corona information theme?
No, that's the NBC, like when they would do like after school specials that had like that like moral tale at the end. They would have like the NBC more, you
after
know,
school specials.
Yeah, it was ABC. I think it's NBC. It was like either one.
How do you know so much about American shit?
That's all I watch. The only British thing I watch is Graham Norton. And literally.
I get hooked on Graham Norton clips.
They're so good. He's the best chat show host in the world, I think, by a country mile.
He's been doing it for so long as well.
Did you used to watch So Graham Norton back in
the
day?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because I used to be on Channel 4 on like Fridays, I think, back in like the 90s. That's when that was his first show, I think, because before that he was just an actor. Yeah.
Imagine if we got on Graham Norton one day.
Oh my gosh, my dream is to be on Graham Norton.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I'd be able to like be normal. probably depends who else was on the couch.
For me, it has to be Nicole Kidman and Tom Hanks.
Yeah?
Yeah, if it's fucking Jack Whitehall.
Thing is, I feel like we're much more likely to encounter Jack Whitehall day to day, so maybe let's not slag off too many people.
I mean, he won't know until he listens. And if he listens after the fact, then that's not my fault.
That's true. Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
No, but I would rather have people who I don't give a shit about. Because if I've got people who I, like, really admire and respect, I'm going to be freaking out too much to be funny.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be better if they laughed at your jokes, other than people you don't give a shit about?
Yeah.
That's what I would want. Yeah. If we just have a drink beforehand, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And also, like, it'll be, because we'll probably be, like, the smallest people on the couch, like, there's sort of an amount of reckless abandon that you can have.
That's true.
So I imagine that we would take advantage of that.
Yeah. And if we would definitely be the smallest people, which means there'd have to be some big people to
balance it out. So if Nicole Kidman's on my right and Tom Hanks is on your left, and then they say, okay, so what do you do? And we'd be like, well, we make dick jokes for a living.
We talk about adult students having inappropriate relations with their underage students.
You said students twice.
Did I?
Yes.
You know what I meant.
You know what I meant, Tom.
Come on, Tom, keep up.
Tom, if you notice, it means you have the same name, eh? Eh? And he's like...
Anyone ever call you Tommy? Tommy Hanks?
Tommy Hank Marvin, eh?
He's just like, okay, I'm going to go over here now. I still don't know what these guys do.
And I'm like, Nicole, I love your accent. She's like, that was terrible.
Oh, yeah, God. See, this is why I think they would end up hating us.
No, I think they would love us by the end.
Yeah.
Because if I just kept on trying to do Australian, at some point it would click. But,
yeah, that's how you make Australian people like you.
Shall I try and do a sentence? I'll try and repeat what you just said. That's how you make Australian... Australian... That's how you make Australian people like you. That's how you make Australian people like you. You do their accent really badly for so many.
Yeah, it's not great.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah. One day I'll be good at accents.
One day we'll be on Graham Norton.
Yes, one day we'll be Graham Norton.
All right, we've got a battle plan, Graham.
Yeah, so at the start of this chapter... So Harry could tell the flight of the twins will go down in Hogwarts legend because everyone's fucking talking about it.
Yes, they can't get rid of... no one can get rid of the swamp that they put there, even though Harry suspects that people like McGonagall and Flitwick could... get rid of it instantly.
But they
prefer to watch Umbridge struggle.
The swamp sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I love like outdoor things being in indoor spaces.
Yeah, well, we talked last week about, you said last week how you would like to have like the glade that they have their thing as your bedroom. I'm not so keen.
I just find it so fascinating.
Mm.
I don't know why. I just like
it's the sort of thing. Do you remember when we talked about things that when you ever go to someone's house and you'll be like, oh, this is awesome. I wouldn't want it to be my house. That's kind of how I feel about that.
Okay.
If I was to come around to yours and be like, man, your room is awesome. It's like a fucking forest glade.
Yeah.
You do you. I don't want it, but this is cool. That would be very much how I feel about it.
Fair enough. I would take that.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we can agree on something.
Yeah, I'm glad we can finally put that behind us.
Oh, God, yeah. So Do a Weasley becomes a term that people start using when they fucking had enough of things.
Do a Weasley.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking do a Weasley.
Slip off for a cheeky Weasley.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the amount of mischief that's been left in their wake is not like anything Hogwarts ever seen. Umbridge has got her bloody work cut out for her.
She's got her fucking plates, her little kitten plates full, isn't she, Dog?
Yeah, it's overflowing with puss.
Oh, God. Somebody keeps on fucking putting nifflers in Umbridge's office.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what a niffler is, it's that thing they used in book four to find the gold in Hagrid's cabbage patch.
Yes.
It wasn't a cabbage patch, but I feel like any patch should be called a cabbage patch. Like a Cabbage Patch Kid. Do you remember those things?
This little, I mean...
do you remember Around the Twist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like this?
Strange things happen, they're going around the twist.
But yeah, no, I remember that.
No, but do you remember the first verse? It was like, do you remember the story about the something and the spider? It's something, something else, and crawled deep inside her. Have you ever?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was so fucking, because I YouTube like the songs. It's like, oh, good job, I remember that. And I was like, what the fuck is this weird fucking first verse? It's so bizarre.
Wow.
Anyway, back to Harry Potter. Yeah.
We've become sidetracked. Everyone's eating the skiving snack boxes and Umbridge is determined to get to the bottom of it, but she can't. None of the other staff give a shit.
Yeah, because all the students are like, oh, sorry, I'm suffering from Umbridge-itis.
Yeah.
And she's like,
Is that a thing? Do I have it?
Oh, shit, I didn't realise it could spread so easily. I knew I should have used protection.
I should control where my sherbet lands.
Oh, God, I shouldn't mix sherbet and Diet Coke. Yeah, and Peeves has become a bit of a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
The stuff he's doing is pretty horrendous. He's like dumping bags of tarantulas on students in the Great Hall and like destroying things. Fucking putting Mrs. Norris inside suits of armour, which I thought was obviously unnecessary.
But also, yeah.
No matter what she does, she doesn't deserve it. Yeah.
But I thought Filch was said in the last chapter or a couple of chapters ago that he had an order to have Peeves expelled.
I think he said he was going to get one.
Yeah.
Ronnie's dreading Molly's letter about the twins.
Yeah, they're talking about it in Transfiguration because Ron's like, oh, of course it'll be my fault. But Hermione's like, well, it can't be your fault. It's if they've got premises in Diagon Alley, they must have had it planned for ages. And then they get onto the subject of how they got the money for it.
And I was like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they've became rent boys, guys.
Yeah.
There's definitely a market for ginger twins. And so, I mean, if you look at their receipts, they all seem to say AD. I don't know who that could be, but the handwriting's very loopy, so we'll see, I guess. But yes, that's how they got the money. So tell your mother that. So, dear mum, Fred and George were selling their bodies. That's how they became so rich. But don't worry, it's tax-free.
Yeah. As long as you don't declare it.
Yeah. And if you do get caught by the IRS, just say, it's fine.
I'm a wizard, fuck you.
Yeah. No, it was just donations. They enjoyed the service, which I gave for free. And then they gave me a donation to say thank you. It's a charitable donation. For the Redden Forge? For the Redden Forge.
Foundation.
Foundation for the criminally insane. And Molly's like, well, that all sounds legit to me.
I have no questions.
Maybe you can sell my gravy at your establishment as an add-on. They're like, yes.
Yeah, we weren't going to ask.
If you could siphon some off for us, that'd be great. I tell you what, why don't we keep you in the basement? We'll plug you in and we'll just drain you like a cow. Yeah. There we go. Don't worry, we'll keep you well shaved. Don't want any ginger bits getting in it. Ah.
We'll put them all in little baggies and sell them as sprinkles.
Yes, these are what we call hundreds and thousands in the wizarding world. Ron and Hermione are just like, what?
Yeah. Wait.
This whole time?
So, yeah, Harry tells them that he was the one who gave him the money. And they're a bit like, but whatever. And then Hermione goes to talk to him outside. And Harry thinks she's going to chastise him for giving Fred and George money. And she's like, no, I was going to talk to you about that. I want to know when you're going to resume occlumency with Snape.
Yeah. And I don't know what he does.
Neither do I.
I guess he just says, don't worry about it.
Now, look, if we don't know, let's not guess. Let's
once,
just admit.
Tom, yeah, let's not speculate.
Look, we don't know what happens here, guys. It's an oversight.
I do know that he finds it too hard to close his mind at night, though, because of the looming exams.
Yes.
Because obviously it's exam week and everything's getting really stressful.
Yeah, and the amount he's trying to cram into his head during the day with revision and everything.
Yeah.
It's hard to even, like...
I'm impressed that they're actually trying to revise, though.
Yeah.
I didn't think Harry and Ron would.
Well, I imagine Hermione's not going to let them not revise.
They could say, oh, we're going to go revise in our rooms and then just play, like, Hangman instead.
Yeah.
And it all ends badly when Neville's, like, swinging from the bedpost. They're like, look, he just went a bit too far again.
He couldn't guess the word. What were we supposed to do?
It's not my fault he didn't guess all the vowels.
Yeah. Final Quidditch match of the season. It's coming up. It's bloody Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw.
Yeah, Luna's made another hat, hasn't she?
Yeah, with a big raven.
Yeah, and it's chewing a snake.
Yeah.
Or is it? No, it can't be.
I don't think so.
Just a raven having
chewing a lion.
Yeah. Just a raven with its arse in a lion mouth and taking shits. And Luna's like, this one took me a very long time. I had to use a real raven, you see.
I keep having to throw bits of meat up to it.
Oh, don't worry, the lion was dead already. Like, oh my god.
Stop dragging animal carcasses around school with you.
Yeah, so on the way to the pitch, they sit down and fucking Hagrid appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, like a minute into the match after Ron's already let in one goal, Hagrid like tries to be subtle about it, but he's obviously Hagrid, so...
He tucks himself into a little ball and rolls along the bench.
Knocks a dozen first years down off the stands, plummeting to their death.
And he's like, strike! Oh, God. He's like, sorry about that.
He says, you gotta come with me. Come with me right now.
And Ron's like, oh, why, Hagrid? And he's like, oh, you'll see. You'll all see.
Is it just because everyone's distracted with the Quidditch match that he wants them to come now?
I think so,
they come, like, right at that moment?
I think so. And when he can get him away with that Umbridge noticing.
Yeah.
I believe.
Oh, yeah, because her whole Inquisitorial squad is gathered around her because she suspects some shenanigans to take place at the match.
Yeah. So Hagrid puts a leash around both their necks and drags them away.
Yes, on all fours now.
Yeah.
don't want it to look suspicious.
Harry, if you don't cooperate, I'm going to have to drag you. I don't want your robes to get all mucky before they have to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ollie can clean to the very end, you see. Oh, God. So, yeah, he pulls them like a sleigh, and then...
He attaches a sleigh to them. It says, mush.
Oh, God. So
they're, of course,
the
used to this from their Care of Magical Creatures lessons.
That's how you get a pass grade, you see.
Yeah.
I love how all my characters just say, you see.
Yeah.
As if that makes it more, like, palatable. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do this awful thing, you see.
It's the only way I can get my jollies, you see.
So they take them over into the forest. The Forbidden Forest.
Yes.
The Dark Forest. The Spooky Forest.
Harry, Hagrid, this forest is a little spooky.
Ah, it's so sticky.
Sorry, you'll see why in a minute.
Spooks from all different kind of creatures in here. Got a centaur spook, a giant spook, unicorn spook. Yeah. Very valuable, you see. Heals all kinds of maladies.
They'll be having babies forever.
They'll all have a horn on the front of their head, but...
You'll be careful around that unicorn spook.
It's unlikely you'll survive childbirth, but... And then I get into, and then Hermione's like, Hagrid, what are you doing? And he's like, well, there's a good chance I might be fired, see? So
and they're like, oh, no.
He's like, no, Hagrid,
no.
No, but you got the best, Hagrid. Look at all the things you did.
You're not going to get fired?
Yeah. You'll be fine. You'll probably be longer than us, Hagrid, because you've got no transferable skills. He's like, no, or he won't get fired soon. If it wasn't for this, we would have gone out over long ago, but I just need to let someone know so they can look after him. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they go into like a little den. Not a den, it's like a glade, but it's been made into like a...
Just a little clearing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like, there's like things in it.
Uprooted trees.
Yeah, so it's like a clearing with a massive, like, sort of little, like, den made in it.
A massive little.
So there's a few times I've listened back and heard, like, my, like, oxymoronic, like, sentences.
It's got a massive little den in it. Yeah, it's this huge mound of earth in the middle.
Yeah.
And then Hermione says... Oh yeah, Hagrid was sleeping. And then Hermione says, who is that? And Harry thinks that's an odd question because he was going to ask, what is it?
Yeah.
And then he realises that the massive little den...
is fucking Jeremy Beadle. He's like, what? And Hagrid's like, ah, you've been framed. Yeah.
Look at this little hand. I had to bring him back.
Oh my god, no, it's fucking Grawp. It's his
fucking
little
Grawp.
It's his, I was going to say it's his little giant brother. Yeah. I suppose it is his little brother who also happens to be giant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His younger brother.
So Hagrid's like, oh, he couldn't leave him behind. He'd have no one to fend for him. And Hermione's like, Hagrid, what are you doing? Why did you bring him back?
Yes, Hagrid, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, fucking hell. I wish I'd never slept with you now. And he's like, oh.
I've been walking funny ever since.
But now I do
can
have...
feel it flapping in the breeze.
Oh my god. Yes, I never referred to it as my gusset before, but... Fucking Hagrid. Hagrid's like, ah, oh, well... Once you go joyin', you'll never be defoyin'.
You never get a chance to be defiant. People slip it in without you noticing. Oh, God.
But it does make childbirth a fucking breeze, I'll tell you that. You have a little sneeze and it comes shooting out like it's at a water park. The challenge is for the doctor to catch it in time.
Many half giants been lost that way. That's why there's not many of us.
Most of the toys have just got to paint over the marks on the walls.
Give an Esco.
Oh, well, Mrs. Giant, don't worry. There's still three more on the way.
That's not my name, and that's very offensive.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Mr. Human. Dr. Human, thank you very much.
Yes, Professor Von Vader Human to you. oh, fucking hell, no. And he's like, look, before we get the sack, someone's going to need to look after him. You know, keep him company, give him a rub down, that kind of thing.
Relieve him.
Yeah.
Well, this giant spook didn't create itself.
It's got medicinal properties, you see. Oh, God. But he's like, yeah, Grot was the fucking runt of his litter. The other giants were bullying him.
Yeah, because he's so small. He's only 16 feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess he's quite small for a giant.
I suppose so.
Because think about it, two like grown men on top of each other would only be 12 feet.
Yeah.
So suddenly, like, it's like two grown men standing on each other's shoulders with like a like 8-year-old standing on top of their shoulders.
Mm.
That's not that massive.
Pretty big.
It's probably like what size, like a giraffe height, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon so.
If the giraffe was roughly 16 feet.
Yeah, I think giraffes probably are, right? Between 16 and 20 feet high.
Couldn't tell you, mate.
I think so. Fucking, that's a deep throat, isn't it? Oh, God. That's what Hagrid also found when he went out to the mountain. It's just like a herd of giraffes there.
Finally. Hagrid. Oh, he's just awful.
Hagrid.
Stop putting it in places it isn't wanted.
Yeah, that's a good lesson for everyone.
Yes.
So they're like, oh, fine, well, okay, I guess we'll look after him if we have to. He's like, he doesn't need much, he doesn't need feeding or anything like that, just to keep him company, make sure he's all right, read him a book or two.
Yeah, rub his belly.
Yeah. And Hermione's like, what kind of book?
Because I've got one whose message I'm really trying to spread. Yeah, you want me to teach him English, though? Is that... Does it have to be?
I personally think Grot would really flourish in the German language. It's a language of love, you see. Alas.
But yeah, so they agree to help Hagrid. Because Harry's already promised that, yeah, I'll do anything you want, Hagrid.
Oh, is that what you said on the way in?
Anything. Oh, Harry. Signed your life away. And so Hagrid wakes up Grop to introduce them, poking him with a stick.
Yeah.
And it's all like, he tries to introduce him, Grop just doesn't give a shit and is just sort of bats Hagrid away and breaks his nose and...
Does he?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
And so Hagrid's like, well, so yeah, if you just come and... keep him company a little bit, and now he knows you, so he'll know who you are. And I'm like, Hagrid, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, this is really... Because how does he think? Because he knows that what Grop's been doing to him, oh, he doesn't know his own strength. But even if he does think he's innocent and doesn't know his own strength, he's been beating the shit out of Hagrid. He literally just, like, fucked his nose up.
Yeah.
How does he think Ron and Hermione, Harry and Hermione are gonna, like, fare against that?
I think the sensible thing to do would have been to maybe, like... Mix a shrinking potion and a strengthening potion together. Maybe give that to Grop and see if it actually like reduces his size a bit.
I feel like wouldn't that just reduce his size and make him stronger?
Hopefully not.
Why would you mix the strengthening solution?
Just to strengthen the potion.
Oh, I see.
Because we still don't know how the strengthening potion actually works.
Whether it strengthens other potions or if drinking it makes you stronger.
Yeah. Because maybe you can use it both ways.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've just sort of gone down this. My mind just sort of saw a hole and jumped into it, and that's
why I'm in prison.
Yeah, we're doing this over Skype. We're doing this over Skype, you see.
I saw a hole, jumped into it, you see.
My dad always said, "You see a hole, you jump in." He called it "jumpy hole." He said, keep your eyes peeled when you go for a stroll. If you see it open wide, then jumpy hole.
A few years later, some people came around with clipboards and took him away.
Never saw him again. My mom said he joined the circus, but...
I think he just jumped down a hole and never came back out.
Oh, God. So they're like, okay, I guess Hagrid, this is all fine. Grop goes back to sleep. then they turn around and make their way out of the forest, and Hermione's like visibly shaken and stuck. She's like, how the fuck did we get into this?
Yeah, well, you would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to look after that.
No. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, do you know what? I think because you've obviously had this thing against Hagrid that hadn't really occurred to me until we talked about it.
Yeah.
I think this is reading like the first book with Norbert and everything. Obviously, Hagrid goes a little bit insane during that, but I don't know if I would have had quite the disdain for him that this has caused. Like, until this point, at this point, I would have, because this is like just next level irresponsible douchery.
Yeah, I agree. But oddly enough, I think of the I think it's the one situation where it would have been very hard to just walk away from, because it's like a living thing that is kind of, there's a level of dependency there, and I wouldn't have been able to just like abandon Grawp if Hagrid had, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a level of like Hagrid was, I don't know, I think I've like a level of like understanding. I think it's all bollocks, but I think there's a level of understanding where it's like, it's not like Hagrid could have just left him, like he had to burden someone with this, I feel. And yeah, I think he did do the right thing actually in bringing Grawp back with him in a way.
Maybe, but it's not like Grawp needs looking after or anything. He just wants to try and ingratiate him into society.
But I think he does need looking after to some degree, because he's still quite young in giant. No, but he's still young in general, I think, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's not the same age as Hagrid or anything like that, or slightly similar age. He's quite a lot younger, I think. I don't know. I just wish that Hagrid didn't exist.
I don't know. I think Hagrid's a good character.
I wish that Grubbly Plank was the person.
Well, yeah, but again, this is you wishing the book didn't have conflict.
No, she still could have been a bitch about things. I just would have preferred that than this. Yeah.
I don't know. I like Hagrid as a character. I mean, he obviously has flaws, but that's what and creates conflict and tension in the book, but that's what makes him a good character for the book.
I just think I just think he causes unnecessary strife.
Yeah, but it's all born out of his character flaws.
Yeah, but
it's it's not just written in for the plot. It's like,
I think that's even worse.
No, it's not.
I think it is. Even if it's not like, even to like drive the plot forward, I think it's even
well, no, worse. It does drive the plot forward.
This doesn't. I don't think so.
Well, it only does in that it provides a way to deal with Umbridge.
That's true. That is true. Okay.
And Norbert was a little bit of a, this really is just in there to serve the plot.
Yeah, do you know what? Fuck it. This is all the kids' fault. They decided to fucking carry on being friends with Hagrid after that incident with Norbert. So really, they've asked for this.
Yeah.
So it's their own fucking fault. So they should fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
And when they complain, when they come back to the common room complaining, I'll point my head out from behind the curtain and be like, well, you should have fucking cut ties, like, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
But you didn't, because you're a fucking weak sauce, so deal with it. Yeah.
Who was that? I was like, I don't know. I think he needs a train ticket, though.
But it looks like he has a strong back, so... So yeah, as they're walking out the forest, fucking centaurs appear.
Yes, and we meet Magorian.
Yes.
So Magorian, who we don't know is called Magorian yet, is a centaur with a big longbow and a quiver of arrows, emerges, and other centaurs emerge around him.
Yeah, and they're like, Hagrid, blah, blah, blah.
We told you we would kill you if you ever entered the forest again, and Hagrid's like, bah, bleeding codswallop and fucking frolicking bollocks.
Frolicking bollocks. That's the name of my wizard band. And he's like, this isn't your forest, I can do whatever the fuck I want. And they're like, we may have been kind to you before, but no more. And they're like, ever since you interfered with Ferenczi and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's like, I stopped you committing murder. And he's like, your laws are not our laws. He's entered the servitude of humans, peddling our secrets to them. There can be no returning from this disgrace.
Yeah, and Hagrid's like, he was just doing Dumbledore a favor. And he's like, no, he's letting himself be treated like a common mule or whatever.
Yeah. They basically tell Hagrid they won't kill him because he's with his young. Yeah. And slaughtering of foals is, you know, forbidden.
Unforgivable. Unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
They're like, but our patience for the thing you're hiding in the forest is running out or whatever.
Yeah, he's just as much his forest as yours.
Yeah, and he like steps up to them.
Won't be kept out of the forest by all mules like you. And yeah, the Harry and Hermione try and just like pull him away. He's pretty brave.
Yeah, I thought so. I had a lot of respect for the amount of front he shows.
Yeah. He's got to be pretty tough. I mean, he fought off, however, you know, managed to pull Firenze out of...
That's true, yeah.
Like, by himself.
Well, he's pretty huge, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's probably not that much smaller than Gorp, actually.
No,
he's probably about 12 feet.
Yeah, he's sometimes described as it's like, you know, the height of two men stood on top of each other.
So, yeah, as they leave the forest, Hermione's like, Hagrid, what are we supposed to do if we have to deal with that every time we want to come in and take care of Gorp? And he's like, oh, you heard what they said. They ain't going to hurt you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I don't know.
Dress up like a young child. Carry a lollipop.
Whatever you do, stay away from Dumbledore.
Dressing up like a young child. Dangerous game in that school, I know.
That should have been the final task in the Troy Wizard Tournament, I tell you that.
Get out of Dumbledore's office. Yeah. Dressed up like a little boy in a sailor's outfit.
Oh, God. So, yeah, they fuck off out the forest and Hagrid, like, leaves them to go to his hut. And Hermione and Harry are, like, a bit like, what the fuck? And then they can hear chants from the stadium of Weasley is our king.
Yes. And they're like, oh, no.
Then it's like, Weasley is our king. He always blocks the ring. That's why we all sing. Weasley is our king.
Yeah, the Gryffindors have made it their own.
Yeah, Weasley is our king. He always makes us sing. He...
Gets blasted in the ring.
Gets blasted in the ring, comes over everything. Weasley is our king. He always wins the race. He likes to get spooky and puts it on our face. he frolics in the gravy. He sticks it up his bum. He rolls around in underwear. And that's what makes it fun. And Harry's like, what?
Slytherins are way better at lyrics.
Oh, God. And yeah, fucking they've won. And Ron's holding the cup and being ferried towards the castle.
Yeah.
It's like, Harry, we fucking won. 2-0. And everyone's like, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
End of chapter.
End of chapter.
Moving on to chapter 31, O.W. Wells. they do their exams.
Yeah, they're fun exams.
Chapter 32.
Oh, God.
I actually scrolled my notes down to chapter 32 as well.
we can skip it. No. Yeah, so Ron tells him about the match the next day, and Hermione's like, Ron, we actually didn't see the match. And Ron's like, why? And she's like, well, because of this. And she tells him about Hagrid.
And yes, and Ron has perfectly reasonable objections.
Yes. He's like, oh, no. They're like, oh, yes. And then he's like, look, can't we just not do it? And Hermione's like, well, they promised.
The exams are looming.
Yes.
McGonagall warns them about anti-cheating measures that have been put in place.
Yeah, if you try to use a self-correcting quill, your lungs will fall out.
Yes.
And she's like, I don't want to clean up that mess again.
There's always one student to be found in the exam hall scrambling to put their lungs back in. And I don't want it to be a Gryffindor.
Yes, have you ever seen deflated lungs? They look like nappy sacks.
If you iron them out, they'll cover two tennis courts.
Really, is that true?
I mean, that's what people say, isn't it?
So are lungs sort of formed like layers upon layers, sort of in like a...
I don't. To be honest, I know nothing. That's like a little pop science catchphrase I remember from like middle school.
Wow. Oh.
And I've got no more information than that.
It's like when they say that if you connected all like your veins end to end, you'll go like around the world.
Yeah, it's the surface area of your intestines.
What?
it's like they're quite long anyway, but if you if you stretch out all the like capillaries that are on the inside that make the surface that in there in order to maximize surface area, if you were to stretch out all of those, it would go miles and miles. Yeah,
that's nuts.
No, it's intestines.
Oh my god, that's great. Yeah, so they start revising. Ernie McMillan asked them questions about their revision.
Yes.
He's like, I can do 10 hours a day on a good week there, but on the weekends.
Pondy weekend.
Pondy weekend, not so much. You know why? I don't know why.
Me get the good kush.
Me drink that Malibu, because as they say, it's seriously easy going. And Dean's like, have you ever even been to Jamaica, Ernie?
Yeah.
And it's like, what's Jamaica? And they overhear Draco saying, oh, yes, my father.
Yeah, of course, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yes.
Griselda Marchbanks, the head of the exam board, is good friends of the family. We have her around for dinner all the time.
Yes, you often stays for some after eights, if you get what I mean. Daddy makes me stand outside, but I can hear everything, guys. And let me tell you.
They march her banks.
When I go back in, you can barely see the table.
And the aroma is overwhelming.
When I say pungent, I mean pungent.
And Hermione worries that that's true. And Neville says it isn't true. Oh, Griselda Marchbanks is friends with his gran.
Yeah.
She's never heard her mention the Malfoys once.
Yeah, not even mid-coitus. Yeah, because sometimes I just like to sit and watch Harry, and I've never seen so much friction in my life. It's like two coconut husks rubbing against each other into a fire starts. And I was like, do you know what? I know someone who used to do that.
Do you remember Moody? Professor Moody?
Oh, when I say he had a hot wife, I mean he had a hot wife. You know, I was like, yeah, never. Why have I put faux elixirs?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, no. If I just read the fucking sentence, it would have explained it. Yeah, like faux elixirs and potions are being sold amongst the students to help them with their exams.
Oh, faux, F-A-U-X.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it meant faux as in like faux glass.
Oh.
As in enemy.
Yeah, I know.
As in someone who is not your friend.
As in us, Gifted. Oh, God. Yeah, someone tries to sell them some kind of potion. Hermione confiscates it and chucks it down the toilet.
Yeah, and it's like, they don't work, you know. It's all bullshit.
Yeah, she's like, I confiscated some powdered dragon claw the other day.
Everyone's like, someone's got powdered dragon claw. That really does work. It's supposed to give your brain a real boost.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, actually, it's fucking...
Doxy shit.
Do you want to eat doxy shit, Ron? You know, just asking.
Because I got some, you know.
I could feed it to you on a spoon.
Add some gravy to it. It's a lovely little syrup. We call it Doxy Delight. There we go.
So the charms exam is coming up the next day and they're all furiously revising.
Yeah, charms.
Charmed.
Oh, you still haven't been doing Hermione accent.
Oh, I suppose I haven't, have I? All right, from now on then.
Yeah, everything.
Everything.
If you don't do it, I'll stop and make you go back.
Okay. So at dinner, they see the examiners speaking. They see who must be the examiners, and they're speaking to Umbridge, who looks nervous.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah, her quim is withering. Withering? Yeah. No, I mean, it probably is, though. What's that?
Withering.
Her quim is quivering, is what I meant to say. Quivering quim.
It's quimmering.
What's quim? Oh, quimmering. Quimmer. I like that. Although Quivering Quim is a whole sentence, not sentence, like phrase, that sounds like the name of like a really sort of like, I don't know, like a super anxious like teacher.
Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Yeah.
Quirinus Quirrell and his Quimmering Quim.
She's like, he's like, wife in a box. I'm here like a, sort of like a, and he's like, oh, hold on. she has something she'd like to say. Opens it up. And she's like, oh.
Look, boys and girls, it's the Quimmering Quim. I'm saying Quimmering. Quivering, isn't it?
Yeah. If it's just like a disembodied, like, glowing vagina that offers,
just goes,
like,
yeah.
Oh, God. It just gives, like, prophetic, like, advice or something. It's like, oh, hold on. Oh, it's like his little, like, do you know, like, it's sort of like a preschool. You'd have, like, a puppet, you know, like a hand puppet.
Yeah.
So he was trying to tell, like, a lesson in class, and everyone's like, pfft. Then he's like, oh, what is that? Yeah. Oh, it's the Quivering Quim. It takes that. It's like, hello.
Avoid bars and restaurants and gatherings of more than 50 people.
Like, thank you, Quivering Quim. You're most welcome, Quirrell. How about a kiss? It's like, well, not in front of everyone. It's like, oh, but that makes me sad. It's like, okay, if you insist. McGonagall walks in and it's just Quirrell with his face inside this like velvet vagina puppy. She's like, Quirrell! It's like, oh, but she just wanted a little kiss. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, you wouldn't get that on Potterless, would you?
So yeah, they linger around by the examiners talking to Umbridge, and they hear her asking, "I suppose you've heard from Dumbledore?" And Umbridge says, "I'm sure we don't know where he is, but he'll be tracked down soon enough."
They're not bloody likely. Yeah. I examined it myself in his NEWT year. Seen him do things with a wand I'd never seen before. He bent over, stuck it right up, made it come out of his mouth. I was like, well done, boy.
Outstanding.
Can you do it to me? I was like, sure. Bend over. So I bent over and whoopsie daisy, up it went. The wrong hole, but it made its way out eventually. Pulled one of my ovaries out, but it was fine.
Still in one of the jars in the dungeons out here, I believe.
Good, if I die, you can make a clone of me. Ah, imagine there was two Griselda Marchbanks marching around. Then it'd be one for Neville's grandmother and one for the Malfoys, and we'd all be so happy.
And Umbridge is like... Yes.
Well, I can do things with a wand too.
Do you like sherbet?
Anyway.
So their exams start.
Every time Tom starts a sentence, it's like the perfect in like start of a sentence that can cut from the last time Tom spoke to that one.
I know, I started doing that deliberately. I just like reset my tone. It just makes editing so much easier.
No, I love it. Oh, God. Yeah, exams start. They're like, da-na-na-na-na, exams.
Yes. Gets played throughout the school.
Yeah, just on like a loop. Da-na-na-na-na, exams, exams. Yeah, exams.
The kids are like, this is very distracting.
Hermione gets the end of her paper and it just says exams, exams, exams. Yeah.
I think I passed.
Oh no, you missed out one exam. Like, ah!
But yeah, they all sort of go all right. They have the theory charms and then they have the practical and Harry gets assigned Professor Tofty.
Yes.
And it all sort of goes all right. Then they have a transfiguration, herbology, and then Defense Against the Dark Arts, and the Defense Against the Dark Arts one goes great. He has great satisfaction performing all of the defensive spells perfectly in front of Umbridge. And then he has Tofty again, and he says, he's heard you can produce a Patronus, maybe for an extra point?
Yes.
Which is a bit cheeky, really.
Yeah, and also, like, He should ask that of every student, then, I feel.
Yeah.
Can you produce Patronus? No.
Well, Harry Potter can.
Yes. Whatever Harry Potter can do, I can do better.
Harry Potter can do anything better than you. No way.
No, he can't.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, Harry does his stag Patronus and it goes pew and canters across the room.
Yes.
And much Tofty's
to the
like,
dismay of Umbridge.
Fucking hell. Bloody brilliant.
Yes.
And then.
And unless Harry's much mistaken, he had just achieved an outstanding OWL. But he didn't want to voice that to anyone just in case he was mistaken.
Yeah. Which I think is fair enough.
Yeah.
But Umbridge gives him like a shit eating grin as he walks past and I'm like, what is that about?
Yeah, I don't know.
So is my watch creating noise interference?
Maybe.
Okay. No, just because you keep on looking at it and I'm like, is Tom going to hit me in a minute?
Like, why isn't he wearing it?
I was just getting on my nerves recently.
No, it's supposed to be on your wrist.
Fuck.
I'm glad we're going to cut this whole watch bit. Anyway. So no one will ever witness that. So yeah, potions. Doesn't go great, but he does, he goes fine. He answers the questions about Polyjuice Potion pretty well.
Yeah, so they fucking go up to Astronomy Tower to do astronomy.
Yeah, it's good, going all right. It's a good night for it. This is a cloudless night, can see all the stars.
Yeah, it's a full moon.
Yes.
There's not a half moon.
Or a total eclipse. Yeah. And yeah, halfway through the exam, Harry sees, like, down in the grounds, notices the front doors open. And sees six elongated shadows, like, come out as if they're walking onto the grounds and then the doors close and plunge them into darkness again. He's like, huh, that's bizarre.
And then he hears a rat-a-tat-tat.
Yeah.
A rat-a-tat-tat. Everyone hears, no, no, no. I'm literally doing a rehash of, like, a joke from, like, last episode.
Oh, really? But yeah, he can see, like, the moonlight bouncing off someone's head whose gait he recognises and thinks it's Umbridge. They get to Hagrid's hut, and they enter Hagrid's hut.
Yeah.
And they stay in Hagrid's hut for a minute.
Yeah, and it's all going on in Hagrid's hut.
Yes.
And Harry's like, that'd be a good name for a wizarding pizza establishment, I feel.
Hagrid's hut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything comes fucking stone-baked on stale bread with dog cheese. And bits of like off dragon meat on the top. And I was like, a wonderful idea for a business. So you make homemade pizzas everyone will fucking enjoy. And Harry's like, I don't think you've thought this through.
we only eat British food in this school.
Yeah, mine's like, I don't want any dirty Italian pizza. And then Harry like whispers in her ear and she's like, oh, and we do want Italian pizza.
Have you thought about expanding your range to spaghetti?
I feel like with open communication, lots of great lessons can be learned. Oh, what drinks are you serving? To be honest with you, we're just going to let Fang piss in a glass. Fang is the cornerstone of our cuisine, as you can see.
Does he have to be?
Well, what else are we gonna fucking use? Foil, I could use grog, I guess. Actually, probably better to use grog. Could get a couple of gallons out in one slash. There we go.
Do your customers have to drink piss?
Of course they do. Yeah. Fucking cleans you out nice and proper. Good way of recycling. And I am nothing if environmentally conscious or more. I wash myself in my own tears.
They hear a bang from Hagrid's hut.
Yeah.
And then Hagrid bursts out and they see like lights and stunning spells being thrown back and forth. Yeah, they have a big old fight. Saying,
yeah.
Be reasonable, Hagrid. Like, oh, you won't take me like this, Dawlish.
And then they start fighting, and then
McGonagall comes out and is like, "What is the meaning of this?
Yes,
you. What grounds are you attacking him?" And they immediately just four stunners just go bonk.
Yeah,
take her out.
Yeah, she gets fucking like double teamed. She's like, "Well, back in my day,
back on the moors."
There's only two ways of entertaining yourself, you see.
That quickly became four ways, if you know what I mean.
The great thing is, if there was an accidental pregnancy, I had no idea whose it was. except that one time that Kingsley was in the mix, and then it was pretty clear. Fuck it.
Down to the grounds, Hagrid picks up Fang and runs for it, because Fang's been stunned.
Yeah.
And they have 5 minutes left of their exam, which they finish hurriedly, and then head down all outraged, and they go to bed mad at Umbridge, as they often do.
Yeah, at one point, Mr. Tofty, when he sees Minerva get double teamed, he says, he exclaims, "Galloping gargoyles," and I thought that
galloping gargoyles,
yeah. And I was like, why has it always got to be wizard themed?
I feel like Hagrid says gulping gargoyles at one point.
Does he? I never remember that. But maybe you did. We've listened to a lot of books. It reminds me of Little Mermaid when Sebastian goes, "Jumping jellyfish," like that. Yeah. And it's like, you wouldn't say, I don't know, what's the land equivalent?
I'm trying to think of a thing we actually say like that. Well, not that we wouldn't say that, but that humans have said.
I don't think we do.
There's got to be something. But it's escaping me.
I don't know, maybe prancing penguins. Or can-canning cats.
Whoring horses.
Dubstep dogs. Yeah. There we go.
Perverted pandas.
Frigid pigeon. Apparently the reason why pigeons often have like club feet and stuff is because they eat so many carbs that they've got diabetes.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
They have their last exam, which is History of Magic. And I made a note of the, because I think we've discussed exactly when the Statute of Secrecy came in, and it was 1749.
Oh, is that one of the questions?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever listened to all the questions you got asked.
It was and then Harry's sat in the exam, the sun's beating down on him, Quill's scratching, and he's very distracted. He's burying his face in his hands, trying very hard to remember an answer, and suddenly finds himself back in the Department of Mysteries.
Yeah, and he's in the room. He's going across all the aisles, and then he sees a figure in front of him.
Yes, moves down row 97, and sees a dark shape on the floor, and commands it, "Take it for me. I cannot touch it, but you can." And then Crucio's the man on the floor.
Yes. And then the man looks up.
He's very serious.
Oh, fucking hell. And then Voldemort's like, "If you don't take it,
I'm going to kill you and stuff."
Yeah, I'm going to, what am I going to do with this bunny? Yeah, and then Harry wakes up and he's like, "Ah!"
Yes. And then people are like, "If you're going to scream, do it properly."
Yeah, it's like this. Maybe they all just start screaming. Like banging their hands on the table.
It's like, "Ah, what are we doing?"
And Dofty's like, "Order, order." And everyone's just so excited. Like, "Ah!"
And Dofty's like, "Oh, okay."
And then Magia runs in and she's like, "What's all that? Oh, okay. Oh!" Yeah. And
Harry screams and falls from his desk.
Yeah, and then Tofty brings him outside. He's like, "Are you sure you don't want to go to Madame Pomfrey's?"
Yes.
He's like, "Yeah, I don't know." And then Potter's like, "Well, do you know what? You've got a couple of minutes left. You can finish the exam." Harry's like, "No, I think I've done as much as I can."
Mm.
He's like, "Okay, well, you're free to go then."
Yes, and this is the start of chapter 32, Out of the Fire.
And into the frying pan. Yeah, and he goes up to the hospital wing. And he's like, McGonagall. And Pomfrey's like, she's not here. And he's like, "Where is she?" He's like, "Oh, she got transferred to St. Mungo's." Four fucking wizards all at once, man. It was too much for her to handle.
She was a mess down there.
And it just all merged into one cavernous room.
You know, like what happens to your nose when you do too much cocaine?
I know she was one for breaking down barriers, but not in this way.
She'll need some serious fixing up.
It's okay, I got them good stitches. Wow. Oh, God. So Harry's like, fuck, all the DA members, not DA members.
Order members.
All the order members are gone.
Yeah. He runs down to find Ron and Hermione, finds a quiet space and tells them that Voldemort has Sirius. He's trying to get whatever it is he wants. He's torturing Sirius and he says he's going to kill him. So how are we going to get there? And they're all like, hold up.
Oh, fucking hell. Ron's like, wait. I ain't even funny, but...
I don't give a shit about Sirius.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Jeremy Beadle in there, then I'm... And I'm always like, why does everyone care about Jeremy Beadle?
The fuck is Jeremy Beadle?
And how do you know?
Yeah.
I was like, even in the Wizarding World.
We all wanted that £250.
Every day I'd see Mum smash Dad's groin in with a fire extinguisher. But sometimes we didn't even get it on film. But she did it anyway.
Just to refine the technique.
Oh, God.
Harry's like, sorry, can we get back on... Sirius is dying?
I know, and he's like...
Oh, give it a fucking rest, Harry.
Yeah, look, Harry, it's the middle of the day. How would Sirius and Baron von Voldemort get into the Department of Mysteries without anyone seeing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you need an invisibility cloak. And
yeah,
she's like,
I don't know.
Harry.
They're powerful wizards.
And he's like, look.
Yeah. And yeah, Ginny and Luna come in and they're like, oh, we heard shouting. ¿Qué pasa? And
yeah, Luna says something weird.
Well, Harry sort of dismisses Ginny and she's like, what's going on? He's like, nothing. Can we do anything? He's like, no. And Luna's like, you're being very rude.
And he's like, do you know what? Fuck off. I never your friend. Why are you here? Why are you here?
Very much how I felt about Luna this whole book.
No, I still love her. If I had to be friends with any of them, it'd be her.
Really?
I don't know. As soon as I said it, I thought, do you mean that?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
So, yeah.
He said.
Yeah, with nowhere to go. Hastily opening up the notes again. Yeah, Hermione says, yeah, they can help. So, Hermione, this is what made me think, I've got so much time for Hermione in this book. She says, look, if we can confirm that Sirius isn't at Grimmauld Place, then fine. Then I'll be with you. But let's at least check first. I'm like, yes, super sensible. Well done.
Yes.
And so they hatch a plan to break into Umbridge's office, but it's quite like last
minute. Yeah, Hermione squats. It's like, ah! He's like, oh, wow. So that's where you get all your good ideas from. Fucking hell. Crack that open, put that in a skillet. Wow, it's so well formulated. Yeah. Luna and Ginny are going to stand guard at either end of the corridor. Ron's going to say that Peeves is doing something in the trophy room, is it?
In the Transfiguration department.
Department?
Corridor, whatever. I don't know. It's the Transfiguration something.
That's so weird that these places, anything other than potions, would have a department. It's not like there's one fucking teacher.
Yeah.
Like, there's one teacher in one classroom. And it's a fucking castle. What are all these fucking unused rooms in the castle doing?
Teachers' lodgings, I guess.
But I feel like the lodging things must be in like the towers. I always got the sense they're in like the turreted towers.
Mm.
So what the fuck is going on in every other fucking room? There's what, like five teachers?
There's more than that.
Okay, let's name all the ones we can think of.
We'll name all the subjects.
I reckon I could name the teachers more than I could name all the subjects.
Oh, yeah?
But no, that's not entirely true.
Is this podcast priority right now? That's what I'm asking myself.
I don't know anymore, Tom.
There's a lot of empty space in the castle.
Okay, yeah, and then so we're going to say that Ginny and Luna are going to say that no one can come down that corridor because of garrotting gas.
Yeah, because, and people are like, oh, but I can't see it. And she's like, well, that's because it's invisible. If you want to try it, we'll have your body as yeah. proof for the next people who don't believe me. And it's like, Fred and George were planning on doing this before they left. I'm like, that's how she got the idea. They're like, gas that no one can see and just kills people who walk through it.
That's...
What?
She's chatting shit. She just doesn't want to be, like, held...
Maybe Fred and George, like, joked about that.
Yeah.
But that's not a prank. That's a fucking...
That's a murder.
That's... Yeah. That's a mass murder.
That's a murder. Ginny's like, yeah, the twins said they got the idea from someone else, but they wouldn't tell me who. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder who that was.
Yeah.
Invisible gas.
Yeah, gassing people, yeah.
And also, how most fucking gases are invisible.
Yeah.
Like, why would you say, why can't I see it? You would just assume.
I think so, yeah. I mean, they don't have science education, do they?
Oh, that's very true. And maybe wizard gas is different.
Wizard gas.
Yeah. Yeah. Wass. Have you paid the Wass bill?
British Wass.
Molly's like, of course not. Bills? What is this, Tosh? It's only one bill I know. Oh, yes.
Fingering her wand. So they get to Umbridge's office. Umbridge has been drawn away, and they get in with. And there's seemingly been no extra security measures been put in place since the last time Harry was in. Gets his head in the fire and sees the kitchen empty, and then Creature walks in.
Mm. That Creature, where's Sirius? He's like, Master's not here.
Where is he? Mm. Is he in the Department of Mysteries, Creature?
And he's like, Master will not come back from the Department of Mysteries. And Harry's like, Creature, no. And then his head gets yanked back.
Yeah. Finds himself looking in the toady face.
Yeah, Dunbridge puts her fingers in his nostrils, her thumb in his mouth, and yanks him back like a bowling ball.
Throws him into Hermione, Luna, and Neville.
She's like, yeah! Streak. Yeah.
Yeah, she placed stealth-censoring spells on her office after the second Niffler. Did you think I wasn't going to take any extra measures? She takes their wands. She has members of the Inquisitorial squad bring in Ron, Ginny, Luna, and Neville, who had apparently been trying to stop them from taking Ginny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Slytherins are all there, holding their wands. And she's like, now, who are you talking to? Was it Professor Dumbledore? Or perhaps it was Hagrid? And then Harry, yeah. When Harry doesn't tell her, she basically goes and gets... She asks one of them to go and get Snape.
And Snape comes and she's like, bring me your last batch in Veritaserum. He's like, well, you used the last batch last time you tried to... interrogate Harry.
Yes.
And she's like, we'll make some more. And he's like, more? And he's like, oh, fine, I can have some ready for you by the next... Oh, I haven't been doing the fucking accent. What's happened to me today?
Oh, God, neither of us have been doing our accent.
I know. Like, I can have some ready for you by the next full moon, half moon, total eclipse.
It's like a month. But I need it now.
And he's like, well, I'm sure you can use other poisons, but a lot of them are too fast acting. He'd probably be dead before he mentioned his first word.
Yes. And she puts... Harry's like desperately trying to... Because he realizes when Snape comes in that there was an order member left in the castle Snape. That he could have gone to, but it didn't occur to him. It was Snape. Yeah. He's trying desperately to communicate like wordlessly with Snape. Umbridge tells him that he's on probation for being uncooperative. And Snape goes, says, like, fine.
Yeah.
And goes to leave.
Fine.
Yes. And then Harry goes, he's got Padfoot. He's got Padfoot in the place where it's hidden. And
she's like, what's this?
Padfoot?
Yes. And Snape's like, I have no idea.
We'll spit it out, Snape. Don't hog the screen time.
What? You have a blind woodland creature? He's like, no. Oh my god. So Harry's like, fuck, that was his last chance.
Yeah.
So Umbridge's like, fine, well, I guess if I can't use Veritaserum, I'll have to resort to other measures. And she hitches up her skirt. Oh.
I should have known. Did it taste of my naturally occurring sherbet?
This is his own kind of truth serum. You won't believe what it makes men say, Harry. She gets that little footstool, puts it, climbs up. It's like, in you go.
It gives a little like...
I, for some reason, do you know in Jumanji when the big plant comes out of the cabinet?
Yeah.
That's how I imagine her. Oh, God.
Umbridge reveals it was her that sent the Dementors to Little Whinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I'd forgotten that.
Oh, I'd remembered, but I was like, if I didn't remember, that would have been a fun surprise.
Yeah. Hermione says, Harry, we'll have to tell her.
She says that she's going to use the Cruciatus curse.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what the minister doesn't know won't hurt him.
Yes, he didn't know I sent those Dementors to Little Whinging, but someone had to act. They're all saying they needed a silence potter somehow. I was the only one who was going to actually act. And then Hermione's like, no, I can't let it happen. Sorry, Harry, we're going to have to tell her.
Yeah.
And she leads her on this whole cock and bull story.
Yeah, she says, oh, we were loving her. And I'm just like, excuse me.
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me something.
I don't speak German. now Hermione's like, oh, yes, fine, we're going to show you the weapon.
Yes, we were trying to talk to Dumbledore. We were trying to talk to Dumbledore to let him know that the weapon's ready. We don't really know what it is. We've just been doing what he told us. But yeah, we can show you the weapon.
Yeah, and then she's like, fine, everybody get ready. And then she's like, no, we don't want them seeing it.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh, if you think I'm going to go anywhere without my squad.
Yes, you do not set conditions. And I was like, well, fine then. I hope the whole school finds out about it and they use it against you.
Yeah, and then Umbridge turns and sees the hungry look on Draco's Malfoy's... Draco's?
The hungry look on Draco's Malfoy.
And then she's like, no more puff pastries for you, young boy. I've learned a thing or two from Professor McGonagall about edibles. Bridges puff pastry, oh, it's so tasty. And Draco's like, no, you totally misunderstood. I was thinking. She's like, nah, never mind.
Shut up, I need your pastry.
Sherbet filling.
Interesting.
Don't lick your lips until I say so. Oh, Ghost's like, fine. You can take me to the weapon and we'll bring Potter too. Yes, yes. We can all go.
Yes.
Nice little picnic trip. Pastries, wand, wallet and watch. Okay. Oh, fuck. And that's the end of the chapter.
Yes.
My God.
End of the chapter. We got there. It's all starting to ramp up.
Yeah.
It's all starting to come to a head.
Ironically, I've never felt more exhausted. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. I hope we made your dreams come true this episode.
Yes.
If we didn't, then...
Dream smaller.
Yeah, that's good life advice in general. Dream smaller, wash your hands. There we go. Now, visit us on our social media at poorlyreadpod. Email us at poorlyread@gmail.com. Give us 5 stars and a review on the Apple Podcast app.
Please.
Yeah, please. Tell everyone that you meet. I guess that won't be many people at the moment.
Not at the moment, no.
Yeah.
But when we can all start socialising again.
Yeah, when we can all start breathing into each other's mouths again.
As we all love to do.
Yes. It's the only way you truly get to know someone. Are you friend or foe?
Yes. Get all your friends to open up their mouths and cough the words poorly read directly down their throats.
Yes, because we want to go viral.
Ah!
Oh, fuck it. Oh, I've been gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid, this episode, has truly been Hagrid.
He certainly has.